afternoon. Welcome to Community News, covering the towns of Shrewsbury, Northborough, Westborough, and Southborough. This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Thanks to the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind for their ongoing support. In the next hour, we'll be bringing you news from the latest editions of the Community Advocate, MySouthborough.com, and the Worcester Telegram and Gazette. This is Mike Gregory, today reading along with Arnie Wensky, and we're coming to you live from the Patricia A. Fletcher Studio at Audio Journal in Worcester, Massachusetts. And now to begin the program, as is customary, here is Arnie with news and events from Westborough.
Thanks, Mike, and good afternoon, everyone. Our first article from the Community Advocate was the cover story of the latest issue entitled, Our Daughter is a True Westborough Resident. The Westborough Fire Department delivers baby, then reunites with family weeks later. Just after their lunchtime on June 6, firefighter paramedics Curtis Cook and Trevor Olson were flying down Westborough Roads en route to a residence on Adams Street. They were responding to a report of a woman in active labor and that a baby may need to be delivered then and there. It was a situation neither of them had experienced on the job. On the way, Cook and Olson, two members of the six-person team who arrived, formed a plan. If they're calling us, it's an emergent situation. It's not a call we do a whole lot of, so there's some nervousness that comes along with it. Of course, you want everything to go well. Cook, who has been with the Westborough Fire Department for 6 years, told the Community Advocate, trusting their training as paramedics, members of the Westborough Fire Department swiftly entered the house, went upstairs, and delivered Julia Junko Ray at 12:45 p.m., just 8 minutes after the call came into the station. Mother and baby were healthy, and the department helped the family to the hospital. Everything went very well, as smooth as an emergency home birth could go, said Cook. Added Olson, I did not have that on my bingo card that day. On July 24th, a nearly seven-week-old Julia, joined by her mother, Lisa Ray, and father, Gene Ray, reunited with the Westborough Fire Department during a visit to the station. Cook, Olson, and several other members of the department received congratulatory pins, certificates, and a chance to meet Julia in a less emergent situation. The firefighters were efficient, professional. There were zero issues, said Gene, who said he's been sharing the story with dozens of friends and family members. It made us feel like proud locals, and now it feels like our daughter is a true Westborough resident. The night before Julia was born, Lisa felt unusual back pain, but chalked it up to being 39 weeks pregnant. The next day, the pain persisted as she left for her brother's graduation at Hudson High School. Halfway through the ceremony, the pain became unbearable, and she had the family drive her home. Lisa's family, in town for graduation, kept the couple's son occupied during the most painful contractions. She remembers hearing laughter from downstairs, play session. Upstairs, Jean, who was battling a cold and weary from days of unrest, tried to determine the couple's next steps. Even right before the 911 call, I was thinking we still had time to get to the hospital, remembers Jean, to which Lisa replied, no, babe, there's no way I'm getting back in that car. So the 911 call was made, and after one push, Julia entered the world on June 6, 2026, weighing 6 pounds, 6 ounces. Usually, when we go to these, somebody is in labor and we give them a ride to the hospital where they have the baby. Sometimes the baby is already delivered. So to actually deliver the baby ourselves, it was certainly not something we do every day, said Cook. Said Lisa, I was very comfortable. Everyone was very calm. The experience was great. Our next article from the Community Advocate, entitled Select Board Considers Plan to Temporarily Reduce Parking Downtown. Westboro, prompted by the accident in downtown Westboro, the Select Board on July 21st considered a plan that would temporarily remove a half dozen parking spots around the Rotary area in the name of safety. The board ultimately voted to hold off instituting the plan for the time being. Several driveways in downtown Westboro are potentially dangerous, town manager Christy Williams said, noting that parking spaces can obfuscate drivers' view as they pull into the main road. To counteract this, Williams proposed temporarily eliminating spaces within 5 feet of a driveway. The police department and Department of Public Works could collaborate going forward to determine which spaces are safe. A spot near the Forbes building could get the axe, along with a spot near the driveways of St. Luke's, 2 on Sul Street near Sakihana and TJ Farms, and 3 further down Sul Street near the Central House Tavern. Another few spaces on Milk Street near the gas station could be affected. Select Board members Shelby Marshall was skeptical of the process. I'm not in favor of how we're approaching this, she said. I'd be in favor of thoughtfully identifying all the spots and identifying if there are others. We just went through a whole downtown improvement plan where there was lots of discussion about losing parking spots. I'm worried about this being a little arbitrary, knee-jerk. She added, I don't feel like this is a problem. That is a priority to solve. Williams pushed back, adding that this temporary solution was a baby step that was carefully thought out. If it doesn't work out, plans could be modified in the future. This is exactly what you just suggested, identifying a downtown area, looking at all the parking, and identifying spots that fall within the 5-foot area next to parking spots or driveways. That was the methodology. It wasn't arbitrary, Williams said. Select Board member Ian Johnson agreed with Williams. We're not taking away its temporary restrictions that allow us to get feedback, he told his fellow Select Board members. I look at this as a safety issue. Ultimately, the board agreed to hold off discussion until the broader downtown project is discussed. Parking, the loss of parking more specifically, is a major topic of debate as the town considers transitioning the Rotary to a peanut shape. I want to understand how we tie this into the broader downtown project, said Select Board member Patrick Welch. Added Select Board Chair Sean Keough, do we make a decision on this in tandem with that instead of multiple iterations, which may be confusing to folks? Our next article from the Community Advocate, Remembering the Honolulu and Westboro. Anyone who lived in the local area likely remembers the Honolulu restaurant on Route 9 in Westboro. The Honolulu, which opened in 1970 at the site of the old Eli Whitney Steakhouse at 160 Turnpike Road, was known for its delicious food and tiki-themed decor. The menu featured Polynesian and Chinese-American dishes, including pupu platters, fried rice, egg rolls, chow mein, and beef teriyaki, just to name a few. The bar served tropical-type cocktails and was known for its Mai Tais, pina coladas, and scorpion bowls, which could be and were shared by a number of people and thoroughly enjoyed. The Honolulu was a place where you could always go for a good meal and good time, and couples, families, and parties frequented the restaurant. The interior of the restaurant featured red accented lighting, tropical murals, bamboo accents, and a thatched roof hut, which housed several dining tables. When it was first opened in 1970, The building had been purchased by Hing Wa Inc. of Brookline. The restaurant became an immediate hit, and its popularity continued for many years, making it one of the most popular and well-known restaurants of this type in all of central Massachusetts. But despite its popularity for many years, the era of the Honolulu eventually waned, and the restaurant closed in October of 2000. The building was sold and became home to a Bertucci's, which continues to operate at the location today. Even though it has been closed for over 25 years now, the tiki heads and thatched roof hut are long gone. The Honolulu in Westboro is still the source of many fond memories for people who lived in central Massachusetts back in the day. Due to the Westboro restaurant's success, a sister location, also named the Honolulu, was opened on Route 1 in Norwood. This restaurant also closed eventually. Our next article, new daycare coming to Westboro. A new daycare is coming to Westboro. According to Facebook posts and permits filed with the town, Bumblebee Academy is coming to 1 Dania Drive. The building is at the corner of Gleason Street and Fisher Street, near the town's border with Shrewsbury and the Westboro MBTA station. Construction is underway. Permits include plans for 2 toddler rooms, an infant space, preschool space, and pre-kindergarten space. Storage and administrative rooms are also included in the plans per official document. Our next article, popular chicken wing chain to open doors in Westboro Plaza. Fans of chicken wings will be excited about this one. According to permits filed with Town Hall, Wingstop plans to open a location at 30 Lyman Street, the plaza on the corner of Route 9 and Lyman Street. The construction would be a $250,000 overhaul in the building with Maori Indian cuisine, and the new restaurant would have approximately 26 seats, permits state. 4 tables and 2 booths will be up front, with several other tables running along the wall near the 2 registers. A cooking area, restrooms, and a beverage station are also part of the plans. Wingstop is a popular chain that focuses on chicken products, including wings, tenders, and sandwiches. The chicken comes in more than 10 flavors. The restaurant also offers French fries, and its ranch is especially popular. Hours would run from 10:30 in the morning until midnight. We have a couple updates from the town of Westboro and a review of the block party and 250th American Revolution Anniversary Committee fireworks display recap. The 2026 block party, held on June 26 at the Bay State Commons, was a tremendous success and brought together residents of all ages to celebrate our community and the nation's 250th anniversary. The event featured live entertainment, family-friendly activities, local vendors, food, and concluded with a fireworks display. Attendance exceeded expectations, with residents and visitors enjoying the festivities throughout the evening. This successful event was made possible through the collaboration efforts of Recreation Department, 250th American Revolution Anniversary Committee, town staff, public safety personnel, volunteers, sponsors, and community partners. Their planning and dedication ensured a safe, well-organized, and memorable celebration. The positive feedback received from residents highlights the value of community events that bring people together. Thank you to everyone who participated and helped make the 2026 Block Party a memorable event. Our next update from the town of Westboro, the Backpack Drive is now underway, and community members are invited to support local students by donating new school supplies. Collecting bins are available at the Senior Center, police station, and several other locations throughout town. For more information about donation locations, how to make a donation, or to learn about receiving school supplies, backpacks, and other back-to-school essentials, please contact the Westboro Youth and Family Services at 508-366-3090. Families in need are encouraged to call to learn about available assistance and how to receive donated items. And with that, I'll turn it back to Mike.
Thank you, Arnie. And after this next public service announcement, we'll be back with news and events from Shrewsbury.
Would you like to hear news from Shrewsbury, Northborough, Southborough, and Westborough that you're not likely to hear on commercial television or radio? Then tune in to Audio Journal every Tuesday at 4 p.m.
My goodness, he's talking about us. You're listening to Community News, a production of Audio Journal. The time is approximately 4:16. And now I'll bring us news and events from Shrewsbury. Starting off with a couple of announcements from the town. And this is, first one is a public health advisory, elevating West Nile virus precautions in Shrewsbury. The Central Mass Regional Health Department is advising all residents to enhance their personal protection protocols due to an increased regional risk of West Nile virus in Shrewsbury. Implementing proactive community safety measures is essential. Taking immediate and deliberate actions to minimize exposure can significantly curb the spread of mosquito-borne illnesses in the community. And they recommend the practice of the 5 D's. To minimize your exposure to mosquito bites, the health department urges everyone to strictly practice the 5 D's of personal protection. The first is drain. Frequently empty standing water from bird baths, gutters, flower pots, toys, and pet dishes to eliminate potential mosquito breeding grounds. DEET. Apply an EPA-approved insect repellent containing DEET, permethrin, or oil of lemon eucalyptus when spending time outdoors. And here's now 2 D's, dawn and dusk. Limit outdoor activities during peak mosquito hours, specifically around dawn and dusk. And finally, the last D is dress. Wear protective clothing such as long sleeve shirts, long pants, socks when outdoors to minimize exposed skin. Excuse me. In conjunction with this, the mosquito control treatment schedule is now online. It looks as if they're going to be spraying standard neighborhood responses every Wednesday in August. But note that all application dates are tentative and subject to adjustment based on weather patterns and localized mosquito activity levels. And finally, an upcoming community mosquito education event. To further equip your household against mosquito-borne risks, the community is invited to an interactive educational session hosted by the Central Mass Mosquito Control Project. This is a free public event. We'll cover essential details regarding mosquito biology, local control techniques, and advanced personal protection methods. And it's going to be on Wednesday, September 9th, from 6 to 7 p.m. And that's going to be at the Shrewsbury Public Library, Community Rooms A and B. It's free and open to all ages, and refreshments will be provided. Registration is optional, but recommended to ensure adequate seating and materials. And another announcement from the town, and this is always concerning because there's a lot of confusion. Plastic bags and wraps are not recyclable at the curb. The stretchy plastic trap, just because it has recycling symbol doesn't mean it belongs in your curbside bin. Plastic bags, bubble wrap, and product overlap, like the film around your paper towels, are major culprits of what they call wish cycling. While they are recyclable, putting them in your household recycling bin does more harm than good. Here is why your local facility dreads them. The Tangler Effect. Thin plastic films wrap around the heavy sorting gears and rotating drums. Facilities must shut down entirely multiple times a day so workers can literally climb in with knives to cut them loose. Equipment damage. This wrapping strains motors, destroys belts, and creates massive safety hazards for workers. And here's the right way to recycle. Look for store drop-in bins. Most major department stores and retail chains have designated collection boxes right at the entrance specifically for clean, dry plastic film. They bypass the sorting machinery entirely and get safely turned into synthetic lumber, decks, and new bags. And here's a quick test. If you can push your thumb through the plastic and it stretches, like a grocery bag or a sandwich bag, take it to the store. If it crinkles and tears rigidly, like a chip bag or a candy wrapper, it belongs in the trash. And finally, some news from Representative Hannah Kane. Students from Shrewsbury and Westboro and other Massachusetts communities spent the summer working inside state government as interns for State Representative Hannah Kane. Kane, a Shrewsbury Republican who represents the 11th Worcester District, hosted six students in her state house in Boston, where they conducted policy research, analyzed legislation, attended briefings, monitored local and regional news, and participated in the House of Representatives Intern Speaker Series. These students have done a fantastic job over the course of their internship, Kane said. These young leaders all made positive contributions to the office, and I'm glad they enjoyed learning more important policy issues in the Massachusetts legislature. Kane also thanked her legislative aide, Kerry Shea, who coordinates the internship program and supervises the interns. The summer interns included Savra Patki, a rising senior at Shrewsbury High School, Jax Phillips, a rising senior at St. John's High School, Karen Samuel, a Westboro High graduate and rising freshman at Boston University, Maddie Vavirian, a rising junior at Boston University, Zinnia Sharman, a doctoral student at UMass Boston, and Arzo Nori, a rising sophomore at Emerson College. Emerald Run construction halted by Conservation Commission after series of environmental issues. Emerald Run, a 150 townhouse development being worked on at 33 to 69 Green Street, has been ordered to immediately halt construction. The Conservation Commission issued the ruling on July 21st. The cease and desist order was issued after Conservation Commission members complained that Pulte Homes, the developer, was allegedly not following the agreed-upon measures intended to preserve the adjacent wetlands. They have had a lot of failure of their perimeter controls, and the last one resulted in sedimentation basin discharging improperly and discharging sediment to the resource area in a couple of places, said Conservation Agent Eli Kasu. Scott Morrison, with engineering group VHB, spoke of 6 inches of sediment near the wetlands, with three distinct areas that would be targeted for cleanup activities. There is some discoloration of a nearby stream, he also noted. The entire site, I would suggest, and I'm only one person in this commission, that all work to be stopped and efforts concentrated on mitigation. Here we are in July, and there's not one stitch of vegetation grown on this land. Nothing here conforms to what you said you were going to do, said Conservation Commission Chair Ken Polito. Until the Conservation Commission's August meeting, when the order should be lifted, Pulte must focus exclusively on rehabilitating and stabilizing the adjacent wetlands and landscape. Pulte representatives said halting construction would be, quote, a challenge. You should have done it and shouldn't be have been set for this meeting at all, Polito replied. After 20 years, Travers lauded by community after stepping down. It was all smiles about Major John Travers on June 25th. Travers, a Shrewsbury resident, walked into the Scandinavian Athletic Club with an inkling that a surprise might be ahead. But even though he had suspicions, he was still blown away by the reception. Dozens of community members attended to honor Travers, who was stepping down as Scoutmaster after over 20 years of service to the Boy Scouts. For me, scouting was a perfect fit. Teaching survival skills, leadership skills, and hopefully teaching people a couple of things over the years. For 4 decades, scouting has been part of my life, he told the crowd. We've had great young men, many Eagle Scouts, produced. In 1982, United States Military Academy West Point graduate, Travers had an impressive military career that included commanding 98 men and 340-man units in Germany. He eventually came to Shrewsbury, where he now serves as the Master of Ceremonies on Memorial Day, Veterans Day, and practically every patriotic event. State Representative Hannah Kane nominated Travers during the inaugural statewide Military Appreciation Day. Kane was also present at Travers' ceremony at the Scandinavian Athletic Club to voice her appreciation for the Shrewsbury leader. "There is so much community. There is so much goodness. There is so much caring. John is always celebrating the achievements of others, and the commitment to the community is inspiring. You're the epitome of what it means to be a leader," she said. With his family in the audience, Travers thanked the crowd, which included many former scouts and longtime friends. An assistant principal at Marlborough High School, he makes an impact on students every day. "I really want to thank you. I've loved every minute of it, all those memories we have. I want to thank everyone for coming today, and it really just means a lot. It means the world to me," said Travers. Well, we certainly congratulate John for his 20 years of service to the town and to the Boy Scouts of America. Shrewsbury Montessori School welcomes new leader. Amanda Behan knew she wanted to be an educator from the start. As a 7-year-old student, she asked her teacher if she needed help setting up her classroom over the summer. At home, she tried her best to become a teacher herself, frequently, quote, playing school with her two younger siblings. "I loved working with young children. I love the wonder that happens in early childhood and elementary environment," Behan told the community advocate. "I've loved it since I was a kid. I love exploring. I love learning." In July, Behan becomes the new head of school at the Shrewsbury Montessori School, a 54-year-old institution with campuses on Prospect Street and Oak Street, educating 15-month-old and upper elementary students as well. Previously, Behan served as the assistant head of school and head of the lower school at the Advent School in Boston. "The transition to Shrewsbury couldn't be better," said Behan. "Shrewsbury Montessori School is such a jewel of the school in the community," she noted. "I've had the pleasure of getting to know the absolutely incredible administrative staff and teachers, and it's so clear that everyone is dedicated to ensuring that each child who walks into this building has the best educational experience as possible." Shrewsbury Montessori School is accredited by the American Montessori Society, an organization that ensures schools are abiding by the Montessori method. In the early 1900s, Dr. Maria Montessori opened a small school in Rome that utilized her unique philosophy. Today in the United States, there are over 4,000 Montessori schools, which use a child-centered environment to bring about the best in students. Children learn best in a self-paced environment where they're allowed to explore. At the Shrewsbury Montessori School, students learn what others in a 3-year span. Older learners develop leadership skills, while younger peers can learn from watching their role models. Students learn through uninterrupted exploration that encourages curiosity and problem solving. It's a model that allows students more choice and creates incredible results. By age 3, Shrewsbury Montessori students can name different continents. By age 5, they're making maps, recognizing different parts of the world. Students are challenged academically, but Shrewsbury's Montessori School's educators ensure that they're well supported. The school's dedicated teachers have been reaching out to Behan, sharing how much they enjoy their work. Students won't be in the classroom for another month, but educators are already excitedly preparing their spaces. "It's the emphasis on following the students, giving them moments to explore independently, and practice their budding independence. From the moment they're toddlers, we're saying, you are capable. It allows them, when they're tackling social and academic challenges, to know that they can do it and they can still drive to do their best," said Behan. Well, we certainly welcome Amanda Behan to the community of Shrewsbury and wish her very good luck in her role as the director of the Montessori program. And I think with that, we'll close our news and events from Shrewsbury. And after the next public service announcement, Arnie will be back to bring you news and events from Northborough.
Are you or a loved one experiencing vision loss? Unable to read your daily newspapers? Feeling isolated because of blindness? If the answer is yes, Audio Journal can help. Live broadcasts of newspapers and other local publications enable blind, visually impaired, and print-disabled residents of Worcester County to connect with their communities. Newspaper readings, informative programming, education, and entertainment return you to the printed word your vision loss has denied you. For information about Audio Journal's free service, call 508-797-1117. Again, the number is 508-797-1117 or email info@audiojournal.org or go to our website at www.audiojournal.org. Audio Journal is a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.
And welcome back. And now here is Arnie with news and events from Northborough.
Thanks, Mike. Our first article from the Community Advocate, amazed at all the stuff that could get done. After 36 years of service, Northborough Town Hall employee retires. When Linda Lepore saw an ad in the paper for a receptionist position in the town administrator's office, she never imagined that she would spend the next 36 years at Town Hall. But that's exactly what happened after she found what she calls her second family. Lepore began her career in the town administrator's office, spent 25 years at the Department of Public Works, and then, in a full circle moment, returned to the office where it all began. The town administrator's office has changed significantly since Lepore joined its ranks, she said. Calls once came through on a switchboard, and all paperwork was done by hand. For Lepore, the workload wasn't what stood out most. It was the people she worked alongside. When we were doing the meter reading and the billing and all that, you're there for what seems like longer than you are at home, Lepore said. So the people that you work with are like your second family. At the DPW, Lepore served as the coordinator for the town's largest department. I took a lot of pride working in the DPW because there was a lot of work there and was a lot of work there, and I was amazed at all the stuff that could get done with the number of people that were in the department, Lepore said. Over the years, helping residents became the highlight of her career. We all worked together to get through some challenging things, and our collective goal was to serve a community, Lepore said. When making the decision to retire, one of the deciding factors was how comfortable she felt in the town's future. You get to a point where you're like, I think it's time, Lepore said. Then you think about the changes and where the town is at right now, and you can have a good feeling. This is a good time to go. Everything is going well. In retirement, Lepore plans to spend more time with her family and friends while enjoying the travel and golf she never had time for. We look forward to spending time doing the things that we haven't been able to do and enjoying life, Lepore said. Assistant Town Administrator Diane Wackel has known Lepore since she started working for the town. Lepore trained her, and the two have been best friends ever since, supporting one another through technological changes, municipal challenges, and even raising their families. We started our families together. We had kids together. We held each other's baby showers, Wackel said. Trying to navigate municipal government and the changes and the challenges over the years, we're in it together. Wackel describes Lepore as trustworthy, helpful, and fun, three characteristics that make her absence felt throughout Town Hall. Lepore was often the one who planned the staff events, from the annual holiday party to co-workers' bridal showers. I think she's genuinely care about the people that she worked with. She didn't see her co-workers as colleagues. She considered them friends. Wackles said she took great joy welcoming in new employees, helping them feel at home, and building lasting relationships throughout her career. We miss her presence every day, Wackles said. Our next article from the Metro West Daily News, $4 million ticket sold in Northborough. Here's who claimed it, Dave DeMille. A $4 million grand prize winning lottery ticket was recently sold in Northborough with the prize claimed by a Springfield-based trust. Backseat Mayor Nominee Trust represented the trustee, Hyman Darling, claimed the top prize in the Massachusetts State Lottery's $4 million extreme cash instant ticket game, according to community announcement. The trust chose to receive a one-time payment totaling $2.6 million before taxes. The winning ticket was purchased at Honey Farms at 369 West Main Street, Route 20, in Northborough. The retailer that sold the ticket will receive a $10,000 bonus for its role in the winning purchase, according to the announcement. Massachusetts State Lottery officials note that bonuses are awarded to retailers that sell top prize winning tickets in eligible games. Our next article comes from the Northborough's town website page. Northborough Town Administrator earns prestigious ICMA credentialed manager designation. Congratulations to Town Manager Steph Bacon on earning prestigious ICMA credentials. The town of Northborough is proud to congratulate Town Administrator Steph Bacon on earning the credentialed manager designation from the International City County Management Association, known as the ICMA, one of the highest professional recognitions in local government management. Steph joins more than 1,700 local government professionals worldwide who have achieved this distinction, which recognizes experienced leaders who demonstrate excellence in public administration, ethical leadership, professional integrity, and a commitment to lifelong learning. To earn this designation, candidates must meet rigorous standards, including significant senior management experience, advanced education, and an ongoing commitment to professional development and serving the communities with integrity. This achievement reflects Steph's dedication to excellence in municipal government and her commitment to providing thoughtful, innovative, and ethical leadership for the Northborough community. Congratulations, Steph, on a well-deserved accomplishment. We are proud to have you leading our town. Our next article comes from the Northborough Police Department Facebook page. Please join us in welcoming Officer Dan Hanley to the Northborough Police Department. Officer Hanley joins us after proudly serving with another law enforcement agency for more than 7.5 years. During his career, he has gained valuable experience as a patrol officer and has received specialized training as an accident reconstructionist. We are excited to have Officer Hanley join us. His experience, professionalism, and dedication to public service will be a tremendous asset to both the Northborough Police Department and the Northborough community. Our next announcement is from the Northborough Fire Department's Facebook page. Everyone, meet our summer high school intern, Nick. Nick comes from a family well acquainted with the fire service, including New Hampshire fire wardens and members of the Worcester Fire Department. While he is primarily interested in EMS and pursuing a career in the medical field, he also hopes to follow his family's tradition of serving in the fire service. Nick joins us through the Algonquin Regional High School Internship Program. He hopes to gain hands-on experience and learn as much as possible about both fire and EMS operations and is taking full advantage of this opportunity to help guide his next steps towards a career after high school. We are proud to support opportunities that inspire the next generation of first responders, providing young people with real world experience, mentorship, and behind-the-scenes look at the fire and EMS profession is an investment in the future of our communities. Our next article comes from the Town of Northborough's website. September 1, state primary election voting information. In-person early voting for the September 1st, 2026 state primary location will be Town Hall, 63 Main Street, Recreation Department, the basement level. In-person early voting dates are as follows. Saturday, August 22nd, 2026, Monday, August 24th, and Tuesday, August 25th, Wednesday, August 26th, Thursday, August 27th, and Friday, August 28th. No appointment necessary, accessible voting available. You can also request a vote by mail application. The last day to register to vote prior to the September 1, 2026 state primary is August 22nd, 2026 at 5 p.m. For more information on registering to vote, updating voter party information, change your name and address, please contact the town clerk of Northborough. If you'd like to track your ballot, you can do so as well. Election day, voting will be held on September 1, 2026. The polls will open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. All voting will be held at the Senior Center, 119 Barefoot Road. Please call the town clerk's office with any questions. That number, 508-393-5040, extension 0. Our next article from the Metro West Daily News, Algonquin football schedule 2026 starts with five straight playoff teams, by Kyle Grabowski of the Metro West News. No cupcakes here. The 2026 football schedule opens with five teams that made the playoffs last season. The Titans open with Division 8's number one seed and a Final Four team from last season, Neshoba, at 6 p.m., Friday, September 11th. They then travel to Marlboro, Division 5 opening round, at 7 p.m. on September 18th. Division 2 qualifier Concord Carlisle comes to the Gonkplex at 6 p.m. September 25th before trips to Ashland, a Division 4 quarterfinal, on October 2nd, and Leominster, a D1 quarterfinalist, on October 9th. Algonquin closes the regular season against Wachusett, 6 p.m. October 30th, another Division 1 playoff participant at home. Westboro visits Algonquin for the team's annual Thanksgiving matchup on November 26th. The Titans were 4 wins and 7 losses last season, but won 4 of their final 6 games. They graduated honorable mention Central Mass All-Stars Anthony Bessard, Preston Bemu, Gavin Butterfield, and Henry Rogers. Leading tackler Victor Norman is back with 72 tackles. Algonquin football schedule once again, Friday, September 11th, Neshoba at Algonquin at 6 p.m. Friday, September 18th, Algonquin at Marlboro. Concord Carlisle at Algonquin on Friday, September 25th. Friday, October 2nd, Algonquin at Ashland. Friday, October 9th, Algonquin at Leominster. Friday, October 16th, Grafton at Algonquin. Friday, October 23rd, Algonquin at Shrewsbury. And Friday, October 30th, Wachusett, Algonquin. And the final game is on Thursday, November 26th, Thanksgiving Day, at Algonquin, starting at 10 a.m. And our next story is from the Northborough Senior Center, Outreach Notes, by Jocelyn Earhart. As mentioned in an earlier issue of the Northborough Times, the Senior Center newsletter, a trend towards patient-driven healthcare is emerging. Among the defining features of patient-driven healthcare are transparency, information sharing, and preventative measures. Several senior center programs in August and in September provide an opportunity to embrace this trend. Information on a variety of topics will be offered and, in some instances, preventative screening. On August 5th, home care agency Seniors Helping Seniors will talk about the services they provide and their approach to service delivery. The topic on September 8th will be heart health and brain health. September 9th, a walk in their shoes, an experiential presentation to better understand the experience of people diagnosed with dementia. Lastly, on September 30th, wellness and cancer screening. Check your calendars. Call us if you have any questions. With that, I will turn it back to Mike.
Thank you, Arnie. And after the next public service announcement, I'll be back to conclude the program with news and events from Southborough.
Would you like to hear news from Barry and Spencer that you're not likely to hear on commercial television or radio? Then tune in to Audio Journal every Monday at 6 p.m.
And we're back, and now we'll conclude the program with news and events from Southborough. NERI building update, delayed roof replacement and project timeline. Since I last posted about NERI's school roof replacement and the plan for addressing other issues with the elementary school building, both timelines have been delayed. I'm updating readers on the latest plans. I recently reached out to the Northborough-Southborough Public Schools Administration to learn how the replacement of NERI school's roof is going. I learned that the project start was delayed and work will overlap with the start of the school year. Northborough-Southborough Schools Assistant Superintendent Keith Lavoie's message expresses confidence that the project won't cause problems for incoming students. Since I'm sharing the news, I wanted to also check on the status of the work of the Elementary School Building Committee overseeing the studies of addressing other issues with the school building. I learned that the timeline for that work has also shifted. When the consultant was bidding for the project in the spring, the timeline was presented as targeting a special town meeting this fall for bringing voters a funding request for choices or a choice that's no longer the plans. And here's NERI school roof update. Here's the message from Keith Lavoie provided to share with the status of the roof. Due to supply chain delays, the roof replacement project has been pushed to the week of August 17th. Prior to the construction beginning, materials and equipment will be delivered to the NERI school campus. As a result, a portion of the project will continue after the start of the school year. We understand that families may have questions about the ongoing construction means for students and the opening of the school. We remain confident that NERI is on track for a safe, welcoming, and successful opening on Tuesday, September 1st. At this time, we do not anticipate any significant disruption to the school's daily operations. Should any adjustments become necessary, families will be notified in advance. Throughout the project, the district and its contractors will maintain secure construction areas that are separated from students, staff, and visitors. District staff is working closely with the project team to minimize disruptions to teaching and learning while ensuring the work is completed safely. The safety of our students and staff will remain our highest priority throughout the project. If you have any questions, please do not hesitate to reach out. Questions related to the roof replacement project may be directed to Keith Lavoie, Assistant Superintendent of Operations. Questions about the student experience may be directed to Tom Millett, principal of the NERI school. In March, special town meeting voters approved the spending to replace the NERI school's failing roof. The badly needed roof project was originally slated to be completed over the summer break. The replacement of the Trottier Middle School's roof, also approved by voters this past spring, has been scheduled for 2027 summer break, and I assume that is still ongoing at this point. And here's an update on the NERI building school renovation. At the same meeting which voters approved replacing NERI's roof, they also approved spending on a study to look at two options for addressing problems with NERI's aging and outdated building. One would be a renovation to modernize the building. The other would be to explore the minimum cost options for extending the life of the building by addressing a smaller number of issues, mainly those legally required and ones deemed critical for safety issues, and could extend the life of the building for up to 15 years. At the June 17th meeting, consultants cautioned the Elementary School Building Committee against trying to bring an article to special town meeting this October. The architect's CEO, Chris Blessen, told members that the timing was tight to comprehensively produce something that the town can rely on and feel like it wasn't too rushed. He warned that the public could, quote, get whiplash really easy, resulting in an instant no votes. As these issues begin to unfold over the fall, I'm sure we'll have continued updates on this long-running town-wide construction project. Park beauty and maintenance is in the eye of the beholder. Over a year ago, I shared reader John Kendall's photos and critique of the Southside Cordoville Park. Earlier this month, Kendall followed up to provide his updates on the situation. That includes his ongoing concerns and his desire for the town to reinvest more in park maintenance. I followed up with the head of the Public Works to get this side of the story. In late spring 2025, John Kendall complained about Cordoville Park weeds, patchy grass, and dirty benches. At that time, he noted that DPW picks up trash, quote, once in a while, and checked the trash barrel. But he said cleaning up trash in the park generally falls to him and neighbors, and felt the park staff suffered from neglect by the town staff and contractors. Following complaints, the select board added addressing the park issues to their annual goals. By December 2025, the board's goal status noted that, according to DPW Superintendent Bill Cundiff, the issues had been addressed. In emails to me this summer, Kendall expressed continued frustration with the DPW about what he sees as neglect. Complaints include issues with damaged and/or rotting trees, cracks in paved paths, benches that need painting. He also said he and a neighbor continued to pick up trash in the park. I once again reached out to Superintendent of the DPW, Bill Cundiff, and he replied with the following. Mr. Kendall has contacted the department numerous times over the past 3 years regarding Cordoville Park and other neighborhood concerns. We have consistently acknowledged his inquiries and, depending on the issue, completed the work, inspected the condition, and referred it to the appropriate contractor, or added it to our maintenance staff schedule. We appreciate Mr. Kendall's input and concern for the park, and we strive to improve our services where we can. Cordoville Park is maintained under the town's private grounds maintenance contract. The approximately 3/4 acre site is scheduled for 30 mowings and 11 weedings annually. The contract also performs trimming, edging, cursory weeding during mowing, removal of litter and small debris encountered while mowing. Our operations supervisor has been monitoring the contract and reports that the scheduled weeding has been taking place. The shrub area along River Road is generally weeded when the trees and shrubs are trimmed, usually once annually around August. The other planting beds are scheduled in the 11 scheduled weedings. Some of those beds also contain established perennials that may resemble weeds during the portion of the growing season. The landscaping contractor picks up litter encountered during its work while DPW staff empties the trash barrel. We appreciate Mr. Kendall and his neighbors picking up incidental litter, but residents should not feel responsible for maintaining the town property. I expect that we'll hear more of these issues ongoing. And now some announcements from the town. Public forum on proposed changes to multifamily zoning. The Zoning Board of Appeals hopes to bring a zoning revision to special town meeting in October. Before public hearings are open, they are inviting community to learn more and provide feedback on the draft proposal at a public forum in a couple of weeks. The proposed article would make it easier to pursue discretionary permits for two-family homes in most zoning districts. Based on the state law, that could allow some two-family homes to add a third accessory dwelling unit to their lots. The ZBA's forum is scheduled for Wednesday, August 12th at 7:30 p.m. The hybrid form will be held in the town hall hearing room, while the other options include remote presentation by Zoom. The ZBA has also created a page on the town website with details of the proposed bylaw change and the meeting and process schedule. If all goes as planned, the article will be on the warrant for special town meeting on Saturday, October 17th. Links include a clean draft of the proposed changes and a redlined version. At the last July 15th meeting, the ZBA approved sending the draft proposal to the Select Board to be referred to the Planning Board. If that is approved, Planning will then be charged with holding public hearings in September. And now a couple of issues. Sunset Playdate. This summer, Faye School resumed its series of monthly summer playdates. Families of young children who want to save the date of the following evening, the school promotes join the summer for a fun family night out at our playground, enjoy live music, musicians, and visit from Ullman's Ice Cream. Participation is free and open to the public, but pre-registration is recommended. The playdate takes place at 6 to 7 p.m. on August 13th at 7 p.m. The fun takes place at Faye's Lower School, and we'd love to see everybody there in the Harlow Circle and 23 Middle Road. And finally, this week's summer concert is rescheduled for Wednesday, August 12th. South Road Recreation confirmed the new date for the recently outdoor concert that was forced to be postponed due to heavy and consistent rain. Carolyn Ray and the Rumors has been rebooked to play on Wednesday, August 12th. So far, most of the other details remain the same as I've previously posted. As always, the performance will take place from 6 to 8 p.m. at Neary School Field, 53 Parkerville Road. Concertgoers are encouraged to bring blankets or other chairs. Thanks to the concert sponsors by the Friends of the South for Recreation, attendees can enjoy free ice cream scooped out from Trimbetti's ice cream truck. As a note, the Friends of the South for Recreation covered about 350 ice creams at their last concert. And with that, we'll close our whole program this afternoon. Thank you for joining us. This community news program is a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you'd like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or braille, please call the office at 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. This is Mike Gregory, again, today reading with Arnie Wensky. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be here next week.
This is Bird Note. Today is International Owl Awareness Day. Owls are magnificent animals that share our cities with us, like great horned owls. And live in some of the most extreme environments on Earth, like snowy owls on the Arctic tundra. They range in size from huge, like the Blakiston's fish owl of Eastern Asia, to the songbird-sized elf owl of Mexico and the Southwest U.S., less than 6 inches tall and weighing less than half a deck of cards. Owls play key roles in their ecosystems. They keep prey populations of rodents and insects in check, which in turn helps promote a healthy balance of the species eaten by those animals. Owls even help control pests like non-native rodents where people live, all without traps or poison. And they lend their music to our nights. By giving these amazing birds their space when they're nesting, preserving habitats where they breed and hunt, and avoiding rodenticides that could poison their prey, we can help ensure a safe future for our world's incredible owls. For Bird Note, I'm Ariana Rimmel.
What's your vision?
My vision is 20/200.
Light perception in the right eye and zero vision in the left eye.
20/200 at best on my left eye, and on my right eye, I cannot see.
No, I mean, what's your vision?
My goal is to become a journalist.
To be able to work.
Financial independence.
My vision is employment opportunities for all, including people with disabilities.
My vision is for all of my students to dream big.
That he become fully independent.
For my patients to live their best lives.
What's your vision?
What's your vision?
What is your vision?
At the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind, our vision is clear. We believe that all people who are blind or visually impaired should have the opportunity to work and thrive. To learn how we can help you meet your employment or workforce goals, call 800-392-6450 or visit mass.gov/MCB.